25th, Thanksgiving Day.
D2EB.
Yeah, Irrevocable Heiress, here in California. This is the second tape of this tape. We actually did make you a tape a few weeks ago, and it was either lost or stolen, and finally we were remaking this tape once yet again. Therefore, I am Lola DeWolf, and sitting here on my right is the great one and only Hymenaeus Alpha Grady McMurtry, outer head of the order, OTO, illustrious, whatever all the titles would be. Okay, Grady, the first question here for Unicorn Magazine is, when was the California section of the OTO established, and what are its legitimations?
This question must be answered in two parts. First of all, the OTO came to California officially with Agape Lodge, which is to say with Wilford Smith. Wilford Smith is supposed to have met Alistair Crowley in Canada sometime in the 20s, or maybe early 30s, I'm not quite sure exactly, but the point is, he met him, a number of things happened, and as a result, Wilford Smith came to California, and in Los Angeles, which is a place in Hollywood called Winona Boulevard, he had for many years something called Agape Lodge. This was the only functioning OTO lodge at the time of Crowley's death. And so this was the OTO in California. And then, of course, however, the OTO in England with Alistair Crowley, this was, of course, in the 30s, as I knew him in the 40s. And his main anchor in the United States was Karl Germer, a former German officer in the Kaiser's army who had, as a Stalinite, had been persecuted by the Nazis and expelled from Germany through a concentration camp before a lot of other things happened, and was for years in New York City, worked there, and acted as Crowley's bank account, basically, voluntarily. He was Grand Treasurer General of the Order, and it was his job to send Officer Crowley $200 a month, every month, and how he got it was up to him, and let's say Carl got it the best way he could. So then when Crowley died, Germer, by that time, at the time that Crowley died, Agape Lodge was in a state of transition leading to dissolution. It happened finally after Jack Parsons was killed in a chemical blast involving his jet propulsion lab functions. In any case, the Agape Lodge continued for a number of years and finally disintegrated. I was a member of Agape Lodge. I was initiated into the OTO in Agape Lodge Almond Boulevard in Hollywood about 1938 or 39. In any case, that was the end of August, and then the end of the OTO as known up to then, which is Alistair Crowley to Carl Germer, his outer head of the order, following his Crowley's death. When Germer died, he left no heir, he left no will. He died intestate, so far as the order was concerned, which left, of course, a vacuum. And so in that sense, we could say that Fratres Eternus, Carl Germer, grounded the order in a sense that when he died, the library, Crowley's library, was left unguarded except for Sasha Germer, whose original name was Ashkenaz. She was a Viennese voice teacher. When I knew her, her name was Sasha André. Of course, she was Mrs. Germer.
And she's not a member of the OTO.
Oh, yes. And it is very important to point out that she was never a member of the OTO. We have this in her personal handwriting to prove that. In any case, Germer left no heir, and he left no order. His reason he didn't leave an order is because, the reason I know he didn't is because I was the only one in the 1950s who tried to get the Agape Lodge members back together again and tried to, you know, continue the tradition of the order, only to find it all was, it was impossible. It was a case that the phoenix must die before it can be reborn, says. And so when Germer died, the library left unguarded in the hands of this little old Jewish lady from Vienna, who obviously didn't know what to do with it. And so she sat on it a few years, made the mistake of notifying a few people like Fratres Peregrinus in Switzerland that Germer was dead. He died in 1962. And she did not inform me because I was in Washington, D.C. at that time. And her relations with me, she wouldn't have told me anything. In any case,
she was rather against the order, in fact, wasn't she?
Well,
didn't she think we were black magicians and so forth?
I don't know what. All I know is that Sasha Germer had many strange visions, and why Carl let her influence him can only be explained in terms of a higher magic, which, as I said, would have Germer ground the order as the current, who ground the Thelemic current at West Point on a farm outside there, until I would reader, and release it by a banishing ritual. The same banishing ritual as you had on the tape here. In any case, as I said, I opposed Germer's policy of not initiating. When I broached the subject to him, I said, "Carl, the order is dying. We must initiate." And he said, "No." And I have this in writing someplace.
And he wouldn't initiate you either, would he, to higher degrees?
No, he would not. I never asked, and he never volunteered to initiate me to higher degrees. But then Crowley had made me a ninth degree in London in 1943-44, so it didn't matter. In any case, I asked Carl to initiate, and he said no, and he said, "I call all that the lower magic," unquote. Well, damn to hell, it may be lower magic, all right, but in this particular universe, if you don't have people who are initiated, an order dies. So we can say that the order died with it. Now, the order was reborn, a phoenix-like, through two acts, as it were. One, when in 1969-70, in San Francisco, California, in a place called La Caba Clerk House at the 4411 Balboa Street, which is now a Turkish restaurant, whose the proprietor's name is the Mahdi, which seems to me like a karma. In any case, I was able to get the Thoth deck published in color, which was the big hang-up point. And I got it from him because the paintings that are the Thoth deck belong to Lady Frieda Harris. Now, by British law, a painting belongs to the artist, not the person who designed it. Now, Crowley thought they belonged to him, but he was wrong by British law. When she died, she willed them to Gerald York. And Gerald York has placed them in the Warburg Institute in London, and I obtained his permission by proving to him through a Xerox copy of a receipt that Crowley had sent me in 1943-44, whenever it was, that I'd just given him £50 to publish the Book of Thoth. To get the Book of Thoth published is all he needed to get it out. And so Gerald York gave me a first return for 1 year to publish the cards, and they were published. And in that year, I was faced with the fact that the order was dead. Germer was dead, the order was dead, everything had stopped, as it were.
There were about five members left, though.
There were five members, but of course there was no organization. There were just people who would run into each other on occasion and knew each other, but there was no organization. I knew as soon as we got on Say So Spec published, it would establish a new vibration. And however, I was all by myself, and so I just stood up there in this empty storefront that we were going to make a publishing firm, and I decided to accept the burden of the cable fate. Because, one, I had the letters from Crowley written to me on the battlefields of France during World War II, after the invasion of Normandy, telling me that he had a plan for me to be his caliph, that what it meant to be his caliph, and what he thought, why he felt I was uniquely qualified. The reason he thought I was uniquely qualified was because he said, quote, because of your blooding on a battlefield right now, not during the war, when I was fighting this from Normandy to Nuremberg. I was an ammunition supply officer, by the way. I hope this doesn't disappoint anybody. I was first lieutenant, I guess you'd call that an Oberleutnant. But anyway, I was an ammunition supply officer for a fighter bombing unit of P-47s. That's two 500-pound bombs apiece and 850 calibers. And I was with them from, as they say, from Normandy, northern France, the Rhineland, and, of course, Central Europe. Now,